Our scripture reading this morning is going to be found in Psalm 105, verses 42 through 45, and I will be reading from the King James Version. It reads, For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they may observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. And we will turn the time over to Pastor Rice and the Holy Spirit.
Happy Sabbath. All right, that reminds me of a big thing. I saw some very giant things. I went to a dinosaur museum. Someone took us to one while I was on vacation. But the biggest thing that I saw there, it was a lie. So let's pray and we'll talk about it. Lord, thank you for your love and your care. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you so much for the truth revealed in your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would illuminate our minds. Help us to remember what we need to know in this part of Earth's history. And teach us to be faithful and true. In Christ's name, amen. All right, this sermon is entitled Remember. Why? Because when we forget who God is and what he said, we often turn into some strange, very strange ideas. For instance, while I was at that museum, they suggested that we all came from sponges. Now, this wasn't the sponge they had in the museum, but apparently you and I are very, very smart sponges. And that's the kind of thinking you can get into when you get off the solid rock and the foundation of the Word. Now, I would like to read Psalm 33 really quick. If you want to go there, you can. But some people will jump off the wrong, let's see here, dealings with time, and they'll make their own interpretations. But Psalm 33, verses 6 to 9, reminds us about the creation. It was literal days. It wasn't eons of years. So Psalm 33, 6 to 9, says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord stand in awe." Now verse 9, "For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." So when God created the world, it wasn't eons and eons and slowly. It wasn't a sponge and then a frog, and then a rabbit, and then this. It's not what happened. So what do I mean when the biggest thing I saw was a lie? Well, I went into that museum, and they've got all these dinosaurs, or fake dinosaurs, and they have little tiny dinosaurs, and they've got little dinosaurs that look like chickens, or turkey that lost all their feathers, and they just look really nasty with all these little teeth. They've got bigger dinosaurs, they've got dinosaurs with three horns, and they've got dinosaurs with two horns. And, you know, I'm not saying that there weren't dinosaurs, and there weren't weird large reptiles on the earth. You know, it's interesting because before the flood, the only animal, you know, man lived 1,000 years before the flood, approximately, almost. The only animal that doesn't stop growing before it dies is a reptile. So if you had reptiles before the flood, and they had that vital force and power that came from original creation, I can imagine there would be some very giant animals in the land. But after the flood, things kind of changed. The environment changed. Other things changed a little bit. And here we are. So looking at the various things and how big they got, there was a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And then they had things hanging from the ceiling that looked very scary and disgusting, and you wouldn't want them in your dreams. But most people think it's cool, and it is kind of neat to think, like, what did there used to be, and how big was it, and how impressive it was. And then the tallest thing, probably the tallest thing in the museum, it literally was a lie. So you had the T-Rex that was maybe half the size of maybe a third, all the way up to the ceiling. And then over here on this side, somewhere over here, there was a chart of how old the Earth was and how long it took us to develop from a sponge into our precious selves right now. And it was like 5 million years. And then I was looking at this chart, and it had all these little marks on it, and it was really, really, really tall. I don't know, 20, 30 feet tall. I don't know exactly. Seemed like it. And then I started asking myself a question. I wonder how often they revise that, you know? And so there was a tour guide there, and I was like, oh, God, I'll ask some questions. I didn't tell them that I was a Bible-believing Christian, and I just started asking questions, you know, an innocent bystander. Curious. And I said, hey, look, I see this chart over here. How often do they revise this chart? It says it's 5 million years old. And she said, well, you know, it's interesting. She said a couple things. She said, well, it's actually pretty solid. And then she said, well, they actually revise it quite frequently. So now I'm a little confused. Is it really 5 million years? Do they adjust the dates very often? And then I found out something interesting at the end of the tour. So we went and saw the dinosaurs, then we went out, and of course they want to sell you small dinosaurs that are fluffy that you can take home with you. And there was another person there, and I started asking them questions. By the way, I'm trying to plant seeds. I had some spiritual conversations with these people to help them think. And of course they make me think, and it's a good experience, and I try to be nice and kind and sweet. You know, we don't want to be the Christians that, boom, you're crazy, 5 million years? You think I'm a sponge? That's not the way we should really treat people, right? We want to win them. So just like Jesus taught, sometimes he would ask questions, and so I would ask questions sometimes. And I was in the gift shop, and I asked the lady this question. I said, so, you know, tell me about this and that and the other. And she said, well, actually, there's a field of biology. It's called speculative biology. And I don't know if I heard that growing up, because I grew up in a school that was Christian, and they just taught biology. They didn't teach speculative biology. And I thought, well, what's speculative biology? So they're like, yeah, you can't really see it. You have to just kind of imagine, and you have to make your best guesses. And so here's someone in a museum that's claiming scientific certainty that's also saying, yes, it's also very speculative. And then, you know, there's speculative paleontology. So the scientific certainty that often gets pushed on people in the youth in various realms of the world is often just guesses. Isn't that nice to know? That a lot of the stuff that you were taught when you were young is just a guess, depending on where you went to school. So where does certainty come from? There's only one source. You need this word. And if we're all going to go around and make our best guesses, well, I'm a sponge and you're one of those brushes that cleans out water bottles, and no one's important. Well, guess what? You were made in the image of God. And the devil doesn't want you to know that, and the devil wants to think you that it's survival of the fittest, and that your sponge is better than that sponge, and these sponges can kill those sponges and get rid of those sponges because there's not as good sponge or developed sponge as your sponge. All right, well, this is getting a little sticky, isn't it? All right, we better move towards the word here in a moment. I just would like to say that if two scientists disagree, who is right? That's the janitor. Sometimes, depends on what the janitor's reading, okay? And you and I and the janitor can all be correct if we will read this word. So we have, according to the Bible, in 2 Peter 1:19, we have a sure word of prophecy. Is it a questionable word? No, it's certain. It is sure. So we have a 483-year prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. We have a 490-year prophecy. They'll happen like clockwork. There's a 1,260-year prophecy, happened like clockwork. A 2,300-day prophecy, happened like clockwork. There's this. They're in the seven trumpets. The fifth and sixth trumpets, I believe, had day and year time prophecies, and they happened like clockwork. And Josiah Litch said, I can tell you when the Ottoman Empire is going to fall. And it fell, and he was right to the day. We have a sure word of prophecy. Israel in Genesis 15:13 was going to be in bondage in Egypt, and then they came out. It happened like clockwork. Israel was in Babylon for 70 years in Jeremiah 29:10. And thankfully, that God is a God that remembers. You know, he sets a prophecy that does he forget it? No, because he said, after 70 years, I will come and visit you and I'll bring you out. Isn't that awesome? All right. Who's thankful for God and his prophecies? He doesn't forget. Who are the ones that forget? All right. That's why we do need to spend time in the Word every day. So you can be just as sure that if you don't think God's Word is sure, you will be standing on sinking sand. Just like the people who are revising the millions and illions and billions and trillions of whatever years it is that this earth's history might or might not be, and how many holes is in the sponge. I don't know. All right. The greatest human intellect is no match for God, by the way. Anybody here used AI before? AI is no match for God. You can go type something into your phone and you can do a little search, and now it doesn't matter essentially what you search. It's all AI. Like Google's going to give you some AI answer and it's going to go all over the internet and think what it thinks is the best, and it'll tell you that. But if you use some of those programs, they can hallucinate sometimes. Like, I have searched for Ellen White quotes before. This is what scares me from AI, and this is why I don't use it very often. Is I looked for some Ellen White quotes. I was like, I'm pretty sure she said something on this. And I asked AI to find it for me. And it'll give me a really nice quote. I was like, well, that sounds good. I haven't heard that before. I'm going to go actually find it on the Ellen White estate. And I'll type it in word for word and put quotations around. And it can't find it. And so then I went back to AI. I was like, can you like tell me what the source was for that? They're like, oh, I'm sorry. That's not actually what she said. There's something else she said, though. And then it'll send you on another rabbit trail. And sometimes it's completely and 100% fabricated. However, guess what Titus 1:2 says? God cannot lie. So if you go to the Bible, you are getting the truth. Capital T. Capital T. Now, sometimes we have to sort through it and learn to rightly divide, right? But it's all there. It's all there. We're not sponges. We're made in the image of God. The earth is probably around 6,000 years old, not 6 million or whatever. All right, so what happens when we get off this shore word of prophecy? And why have we come to the point where people think that we're just a bunch of really fancy sponges? Well, I would like to read something. Because sometimes I read books and I'm like, where did they get that idea? And then I can find it in the Bible. So I'd like to go to Isaiah 58 really quick. If you would like to turn there, Isaiah 58, verse 13, that would keep people from going off into the weeds and thinking that we developed from them. Isaiah 58, verse 13, says this: if you would turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing, well, what's it mean to turn away from? From doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then, there's a promise here, then what? Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. So there's a prescription here. If you want to have delight and in the Lord, which would probably result in some extra faith and some encouragement that he's there for you, you must do something first. And that is, it says, instead of doing your own thing on the Sabbath, spend it doing things that are holy and honorable. Honor the Sabbath day. And if you honor the Sabbath day and you give testimonies and you talk about all the good things that God's done for you. For instance, I was driving here yesterday with my son. He'll be very happy. He should be here any second if he's not here already. But he'll be driving his own car. All right. So we were driving his own car, which he did some work on. He dug deep, and he fought, and he wrestled that car, but he got it together. By the way, if you go and you take a car apart, and you shake it up in a bunch of pieces, and you just jiggle it, and then you dump it out, is it going to be working? Now, that's like evolution. Like, there's all these things out there, and all of a sudden, they just happened. And then, right? Well, I played with fire when I was a kid, I'll admit it. And everything I blew up and burnt didn't come out better. It came out worse. So the Big Bang Theory is kind of a scary theory when you stop and think about it. But here, there's a recipe, and it says delight. And instead of delighting, oh, by the way, so where am I going with this? Honor the Sabbath day. Talk about what he's done for you. My son was driving here, and all of a sudden, there it is. Okay, they'll be here in any moment. What an illustration. We were driving, and all of a sudden, the headlights started dimming. And it was darker driving in the night. And we pull in, and the power steering, which is electric on this car, doesn't start to work very good. It's really hard to steer the car. What's happening? Alternator is going bad. Okay, it's dying. Now, why was it dying? Because it had a loose connection. And we need close connections with Jesus if we want life, do we not? Okay, the alternator was dying because it didn't have a good connection to do what it was supposed to do. And so we stopped, and we, you know, if you want your car to die and you're driving 1,000 miles, you don't want it to die in the wilderness, do you? Well, it was dying, and we happened to pull into a gas station, and there happened to be a Walmart close by, just a few minutes, and then just a few minutes from there, well, there was a hotel, and that's where we stayed the night. He took the car, went to the Walmart, bought a charger, went to the hotel, charged it overnight, and we continued on our way and made it the next day. So praise the Lord that he arranged it so even though there was something bad, something good could come out of it. And, you know, God, we often get into a crisis, but God uses those crises to sometimes wake us up and say, I've got you. You can't do it all in your own power. Someone else is watching over you. And it's good for us to take the Sabbath day to remember God is good, he's strong, he's powerful, he's got it, right? We're the ones that kind of mess our lives up. He's always trying to redeem, always trying to save, always trying to heal. Well, when you don't take the time, now here's an interesting quote about the Sabbath. It kind of affirms what we've been talking about. This is from a book called Life Sketches. It says, when the foundations of the earth were laid, then was also laid the foundation for the Sabbath. I was shown that if the true Sabbath had been kept, there would never have been an infidel or an atheist. Interesting. Never have been an infidel or an atheist if mankind from the beginning had continually reminded themselves on the Sabbath that, hey, God is real. He's powerful. He saved me. He can save you. Never. Interesting. And what happens when people refuse to retain the knowledge of God? Romans 1:21 says people became futile in their thinking. Now, what's more futile than thinking that you came from a sponge? Or you're just a really smart frog? That's futile in their thinking. The Bible says that when you make idols, and if you worship idols, you will become like idols. Now, what does it mean? Can an idol see? Has eyes, but it can't see. An idol has a nose, but it can't smell. An idol has ears, but it can't speak. An idol might have feet, but it can't walk. An idol is mute and dumb and deaf. And if you worship idols and we worship our own thoughts, guess how we become? Same thing. So we need to take some time to remember, do we not? And if my mom or dad were to go on a trip or something or leave, walk out the door, they'd probably say a couple things. Hey, Rob, you need to remember this and you need to remember that. Well, I will be transitioning to another church soon, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know probably, but I'm just giving you some reminders. Reminders for myself as well for this funny time we are in Earth's history. Are we in a funny time, by the way? We have a January 22, 2026, there was a Board of Peace that was ratified. Now, my Bible says this. It says, by the way, it's international. I think there was 20-some leaders of some nations that were on this board of peace. Correct. But my Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, it says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. There's going to be no golden age here on this earth. The Bible says it will be as the days of Noah, right? And what were they doing? Thinking on the evil continually. The Bible says that it's going to be as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's not going to be a golden age here, friends. Don't prepare for this golden age. Prepare for the golden roads in heaven. Who wants to be there? All right, so God wants us to remember a few things. We need to spend some time thinking and remembering who we are and whose image we are made. Who saved us and what our mission is. And I would like just to start by remembering, what does Jesus remember? What does Jesus think about? Where is he at right now, by the way? Yeah, where's Jesus right now? Okay, so you all are, that's a very good Adventist answer. I was thinking more general. He's in heaven, right? Yes. That, and we'll come back to that. What's that? That's where we need him to be, 100%. So Jesus is in heaven. Think about, what does he think about? Now, if you were in heaven, by the way, it was nice to get home. It was cold, it was traveling. We were in two different vehicles. I wanted my wife to be home last night. I didn't want her to be out in the raving cold of Maine. My car never reached operating temperature while I drove there. 47 minutes, it never got up to operating temperature. It's cold. A little bit of a cold day. all right, so what does Jesus do? I wanted to be in my warm house. Anybody want to be in their warm house when you're cold? All right, so Jesus, just think about it for a minute. Who wants to be next to the fire with their toes up, you know, really close where they're getting nice and toasty? And then all of a sudden you forgot something, like you forgot something in the car. Maybe the light got left on. If you look out your window, do you really want to go out of the car and or go get your feet away from the hot toasty thing? Go outside and turn the light off in the car? That's just a short, easy trip. And some of you are saying, no, I don't want to walk 10 feet out and turn the light off. All right? But Jesus, think about what he had in heaven. He had angels. He was doted on. He had praises. He had glory and strength and majesty. By the way, there's mansions in heaven. And Jesus, he remembers something about those mansions. What's he remember? They're empty and they're being made for you and me. That's what he thinks about. He's not thinking about, oh, the gold, oh, the rainbow. He's, oh, my throne. He's thinking, he remembers something is missing. And he wants it. He's not bedazzled by his glory or the glory around him. Jesus remembers his mission. Jesus remembers John 14, 1-3. I go to prepare a place for you, doesn't he? That's what he's thinking. That's what we should be thinking about. As the world grows cold, our hearts are beginning warmer. There's a hole in your heart that God fills. Everybody's looking for something to just satisfy them. Well, you're never going to find it unless you find Jesus. But there's also a hole in heaven that God wants you to fill. And he's not satisfied until he gets you and brings you to heaven. Amen? That should be our mission too. Shouldn't it be? All right. Now, there's someone else out there that has a different mission. And sometimes we learn about it through examples in the Bible. So, Nebuchadnezzar for a moment. Nebuchadnezzar had a little bit of a self-glory moment. Instead of thinking about his subjects, he started thinking about himself. Look at my great kingdom that I've built for my glory. And I question myself. You know, if you were a king and you wanted a giant monument built, would you lift all the bricks yourself or would you command your subjects to do it? Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar is now taking glory and credit for everything that he maybe commanded somebody else to do. Where you need a team, right? You can't just do everything yourself. And Nebuchadnezzar, as he's meditating on himself and his glory, what happens to him? He got thrown down. All right, so he went down. He wasn't remembering that what he had was a gift from the God of heaven and earth. And he got thrown down. But Christ is different. Christ, instead of being thrown down, Christ said, that world is nasty and ugly and dirty, but my kids are there. I'm going to go save them. He chose to come down. Praise the Lord. He's the opposite of Nebuchadnezzar. God remembers his people. He heard their cry in Egypt, did he not? And he hears your cry. Whenever you cry out to God, he hears it. He hears it. So now let's go to the Word a little bit and talk about some forgetfulness and then some memories. I would like to go to what we read in Psalm 105, that God remembers his promise. But we're going to go to that area, if you'd like to join me. We're going to read a few verses about remembering and forgetting in Psalm 105, 6, and 7. We're going to skip around a little bit. If you'd like to see it for yourself, Psalm 105, 6, and 7. I just want to remind us one part of Psalm 105, because it's almost illustrative of what's happening to us right now. We are about to go through a time. So someone mentioned this whole idea of this United Day of Rest that's being promoted. We're going through a time where they're going to promote the wrong day. But look at verse 45 here. Why did God bring Israel out of Egypt? Psalm 105, verse 45, it says that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. So Israel was brought out of Egypt because Egypt said, no, you guys are trying to rest. You guys, no, we're going to give you, instead of giving you like the mortar and the hay, or the clay and the hay, we're just going to give you part of it. You need to get the rest yourself. They're making it very, very hard for them. God heard their cry and he said, I want them to be able to keep my Sabbaths. So he came. God remembered his promise to his people. Well, do his people remember very much? What do we remember easily? Well, now, most people don't forget their own birthday, do they? Well, from youth, you grew up thinking, oh, it's my birthday. What might I get this year? And then when you become a parent, you remember something else. Oh, it's my kid's birthday. What might I get them this year? There's kind of a flip that goes on. Do you remember your anniversary? Oh, I didn't. I've been married 19 years now. I did remember my anniversary, thankfully. It was very recent. All right. We remember holidays, right? We remember what time work starts because we can get there on time. But what do we forget sometimes? Sometimes we forget some of the greatest things in the world. Israel, in Psalm 106, we're going to read a few verses here. They just got saved by God. Now, he did some miraculous things, right? Imagine if you go up to the Androscoggin River and I was there with you. And I held up my stick, and the river split, and we walked through on dry land. Do you think you'd forget that readily? Now, everyone thinks they wouldn't forget that readily. But then we walk up to a town in a city, and you're with me, and I've got that stick. And I'm like, we can take this city. And you're like, whatever, you're crazy. But I said, wait a second, do you remember what I did to that river back there? And if you think about it for a second, like, I can do the same thing to that wall up there. You'd probably get your faith again. But Israel, and sometimes us, unfortunately, we come up to a new obstacle. And if we're forgetful, we look at this new obstacle and like, whoa, that could never be fixed. And we look backwards like, well, God fixed that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. And that's what we need to do. We can't be forgetting. We must be remembering. So if there's a problem with humans, the next goal or the next trial and tribulation often gives us amnesia. But God's trying to train us out of that. Okay, so let's read a few verses. Psalm 106, Israel. Verse 2. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord and show forth all his praise? Anybody here capable of saying all the good things God has ever done? We can't do it. He's doing good things all the time. And yet, if we go to verse 7, it says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not. What'd they do? Remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. And if we jump down to 13, it says, well, it says he led them to the sea. Then verse 13, they soon forgot. What'd they do? forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. And let's jump down to 19. It says they made a calf in Horeb. This is one of the most comical but sad things you could ever do. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. They changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. They forgot God, and then they worshiped gold. They took off their earrings. They said, heat it up. We'll form it into an ox. And then they worshiped that. They worshiped the similitude of an ox that eats grass. I just find it so funny that it says oxen eat grass, and you worship that. Like, why did they put that in there? It's like to remind us how absurd we are when we forget God. Like, we're just smart sponges. And that's what we always revert to when we forget Him. So there's a little correction here of all the forgetting in Psalm 106, or it said they forgot three times. There's in Psalm 107, there's a few reminders. Psalm 107, verse 8, says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that they would, and oh, that we would. And isn't it good that we have the Sabbath, that we can do that? All right, so let's do that. Verse 15 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. If you're going to praise God, what is the first thing you need to do before you can praise Him? You need to stop for 1 second and think, what do I have to praise Him for? All right, so this is a kind of, in essence, a call to remember. In verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. It's basically saying, don't forget, remember, praise the Lord. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Why am I reading the same thing? God wants us to remember. He wrote it in several times. And then verses 40 to 43 says this, He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high from affliction, and He makes him families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. God is loving, isn't He not? We need to stop and remember and praise, because that's what really matters. And if we forget, let's go to just jump back to 17 really quick, 17 to 21. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Now, we've got to be careful how we say the word fools there, because sometimes it applies to us, right? Verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. What happens when we're about to die and we're in a difficult situation? That's right. Verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saves them out of their distresses. He sent His word, and He healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. Sometimes we get brought low. So let's just remind ourselves a few things. Rapid fire that we need to be remembering. All right, so this is God's. What does God want us to remember right now? Revelation 14:12 says, here are they that keep the commandments. All right, this is part of the final messages to the earth. Adventism needs to remind themselves and the world what day is the Sabbath. We need to remember that the Sabbath is different than other days. The commandment says to keep it holy. We need to be remembering when the Day of Atonement is. We need to be remembering what did we do during the Day of Atonement. It was a day of fasting and humility, and we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to remember what the earthly sanctuary was a pattern of, because I'm reading another book right now by the same gentleman that's doing the series on Friday nights at 7-ish, I think, 7 or 7:30. There might be one more at the end of this month, from an email that I saw. He wrote a book, And the whole earth, we talked before I left on vacation, this was my last sermon, was everyone is looking at Israel and a temple to be rebuilt down there. They're looking ahead to the future for a cleansing of that temple, wherein in fact, there's one in heaven that's being cleansed right now. The devil wants us focused in the wrong direction. All right, we need to remember whether to follow the commandments of men or the commandments of God. We need to remember our purpose. What's our purpose? To prepare a people to stand without a mediator. Why? Because on the Day of Atonement, after the priest had made atonement, he came back and there was a cutting off of the people who did not humble themselves. Correct? So we have a message right now. We have a message. By the way, what did that Bible say in Revelation 14:12? It says, "Here are they that keep the commandments." So God's going to have a people that are keeping His Ten Commandments. We need to remember that those Ten Commandments were written in stone and not in sand. Can we change them? We can't change them. We can't rewrite them. We need to remember where our adornment comes. It comes from a beautiful character. Remember what our eyes should imbibe. And remember what our ears should hear. Remember what our mouths should say. Remember where our feet should walk. We need to remember Jesus on the cross, denying himself wine because he remembered his covenant, his love, and it was unquenchable even by a crucifixion. Amen? We forget fast. Some people forget their marriage vows. Some people forget the speed limit. Some people forget stealing is wrong. And depending on what you forget, there are different outcomes for what you do forget. God is telling people at the end time that he released Israel that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Well, there's going to be a command that's coming that says, don't remember God's law, remember man's law. And there's going to be a little bit of war. Well, if we remember that there is a sanctuary in heaven, according to Revelation 11 and 15, and the book of Hebrews, then we remember that there is in that sanctuary, it says there's also, it's a tabernacle of testimony. Now, what was the testimony? It was the Ten Commandments. And in that heavenly tabernacle where there's a testimony of Ten Commandments, guess what's written in stone up there? It's the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. It never changes. And we have to make sure that we remember God's day and God's word and not man's word. And the whole world right now is forgetting things. The world right now is forgetting what a Protestant is. And they're replacing words like they're using things like evangelical, so no one will know what a Protestant is. For decades and decades and decades and decades in this nation, there was never a Catholic on the Supreme Court as a justice. Never. Why? Because people remembered the Dark Ages. The whole world is forgetting. The whole world is forgetting that God writes His law on our hearts and that we can't force it on other people. And people think, oh, if we just force Sabbath on society, they'll all of a sudden be Christian. I'm sorry, you can't just say and change the motto and God we trust and all of a sudden the nation's Christian. It doesn't work that easily. You need to have a relationship with Jesus, then He'll change your heart. The world and Christianity are forgetting that there needs to be a separation between church and state. The world and Christianity are forgetting Roger Williams, who designed a place where you wouldn't be persecuted because he came from somewhere else where the Catholics killed the Protestants and the Protestants killed the Catholics over and over, depending on who became king and what religion they had. The world is forgetting. Christianity is forgetting. They're forgetting the Dark Ages. And because they're forgetting it, guess what? They're bringing it back on themselves. They're forgetting the days of Noah. They're forgetting the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So what should we be remembering again right now? We need to remember that God's way is good. Not man's. We need to remember that we shouldn't go back to Egypt right now. We are about to enter the promised land. And Moses, when he brought Israel right up to the edge of the river, he told them, remember how God has led you. Because they're about to face the biggest battle ever and going in to take the kingdom. But guess who took it for them? What happened to Jericho? Blow a trumpet and the walls fall over. Isn't that awesome? We could have Jason come and he could blow the trumpet and all Turner runs in the church. That would be beautiful. Maybe we should do some more of that. All right, so Israel and Jeremiah, sadly, we need to remember, though, that hundreds of years after Israel came out of Egypt, they ran back in the days of Jeremiah. They ran back. We need to remember, too, after battle and destruction and chaos, sometimes God just wants us to remember. Hey, remember, I've got you. I'm here. Remember, if you're someone who's fallen and says, oh, I can't do it, remember, a wise man falls and then what? Gets up again. Remember, keep getting up. Keep crying out. Remember the words of the prophets. Don't forget. Hosea 12:13 says, By a prophet they are brought out of Egypt, and by a prophet they are preserved. So if you want some preservative in your life, spend some time with the prophets. Remember, we do remember too, and I hope you and I will remember, that sometimes a different level of sandpaper is needed for a different job, right? God wants us all to have smooth, beautiful characters, does he not? However, sometimes the words that are used, and we need God's Holy Spirit, right, to put a filter over our mouth. So I hope you'll pray that. I need to pray that. But there's times when wise man, or one man sharpens another, and he does it through words. And may the Lord sharpen us, and may we have humble hearts to turn and be who we need to be. We need to remember that there's invisible forces, but remember that some of the dark forces are weaker than God's forces. God has no limits. The devil has limits. God says this far and no more. Jesus was on the cross, and we'll close with this. He wasn't remembering his mansions and his worship and the music of the angels. He wasn't remembering all those things for himself. He wasn't remembering his pain either. He was remembering heaven needs my children in it. And I want my children to be there. And because he was remembering and focused on the right thing, he accomplished his mission. So I want to encourage everyone here. I hope you and I all have one big anniversary with God up in heaven. I hope we remember our mission. I hope we remember our cross, our Christ, the cross that we're supposed to carry. I hope we remember his sacrifice. Him hanging on that cross is what changes our hearts. I hope we can remind ourselves about what's most important. Not that we will gain the whole world, but that we will gain the Christ that died for us, and that we will not be like the wicked servant in Matthew 24:38, who says, my master delays his coming. And instead of being about the Father's business, we turn and we fight each other unnecessarily. May the Lord help us, huh? All right, I just have one neat thing to show you really quick, just for a final encouragement. This is a little chart, okay? Of various languages in the world. And somebody did a little study. I guess it's quite a big study. It's called the Chart of the Week. And it shows the unchanged order of the days and the true position of the Sabbath as proved by the combined testimony of ancient and modern languages. This is by William Mead Jones. And he made a Chart of the Week. And it is... it's giant, and it's to prove that the same day... well, this is one of the questions I asked at the Dinosaur Museum while I was there. It's like, okay, how does anthropology and paleontology and people who study evolution, how do they account for a seven-day week? You know, we had a year as the Earth around the sun, and a month as a moon cycle. But where'd you get 7 days for a week? And so the question, the answer they gave was kind of interesting. They're like, well, you could study language. I was like, that's a good point, you know, because the word... in Spanish, what is it? Sabado, Sabbath. Okay, that's the word. And in a lot of these languages, and I won't go through every single one to show you which ones are a deviation of Sabbath, that there's literally, in many, many languages, they use some version of Sabbath or Sabado or Sabbath. They just, a lot of them have that pattern. Why? Or if they don't sound that way, they literally mean Sabbath. Or if they don't mean Sabbath, they literally mean rest in various languages. Now, not every single one of these languages has the perfect pattern, but all of them point to 7-day week, and a lot of them have that Sabbath pattern. And it's interesting how some of these explain the word for the day of the week. Very interesting. So, for instance, in Chaldean Syriac, the name for the weeks mean this. The first day of the week means one into Sabbath. Literally. The second day of the week means two into Sabbath. That's what the word is. Three into Sabbath, four into Sabbath, five into Sabbath, then it's Eve. Eve of Sabbath. It's literally the word of it. And then the word, I will not be able to read it, but something like Shapia. But it literally means Sabbath. So all these languages confirm the seven-day week, in which day is the true Sabbath. God leaves evidence. Why? Because he wants us to remember. May we remember. May he teach us and lead us. And may we not just remember the day, but the character of the day and the character of the one who died for us. Our closing song will be, God Be In My Head. We don't want to be forgetful, do we? We want God in our head, and we want his character. This is only it's only one verse, this song. You'll catch the tune hopefully pretty easily, but it's 679, closing hymn, 679, God Be In My Head. Lord, I pray that you'd please help us to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Remember to speak about Christ, the many things he's done for us. Remember the things you've done for us in the past. Lord, I pray the next time I come up to, or someone in this church, or someone who hears this message comes up to a difficulty, let them remember how you helped them in the past. Let us not complain, but praise you. Let us have hope. Lord, I pray that the whole world would be enlightened with your glory. I pray that each one of us would help the world remember that God wrote his law in stone and that he wants to write it in our hearts. I pray that we'd have your character, and that we would have the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, Lord. For I bless everyone here. And Lord, we might be going different paths shortly or briefly, but I pray that we'd all be about your mission. Let us never forget that you remembered us on the cross. You remembered us in heaven. You fulfilled your mission. Help us to remember our mission and never forget. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.